Clinton brought us a great message a few years ago about family time and the importance of, is it working?
It's good.
It's good. And the importance of having that time, and specifically men leading their families in family time, singing, praying, sharing the word of God together. So really a challenging message for me. I read the book a couple of times, and I encourage men to take this book. If you don't have it, we could get it to you, read it. It's an encouragement. It's a challenge, but it's a truth from the Word of God that really calls us to leading our families. So Robbie and I have been going through the Word of God together. I've been encouraging him to be in the Word, to study it, to memorize it, encouraging him just to have that intimate time with the Lord, right? Just growing and fellowshipping with him. And that's been a consistent message from this pulpit. You know, Pastor Clinton, myself, Pastor Dave, you know, being in the Word of God, chewing on it, meditating on it, most importantly, living it out. We had the Romans 12 project. So yeah, that's a consistent message that we've been trying to give as a leadership from this pulpit. Now, I'd say that Robbie has done pretty good. He's done not bad, right? He's a 17-year-old kid. He's an athlete, so he's busy with athletics. He's in the school choir, so he's got practices that he's got to do there. He was in the school play, so they started in September for a play that took place in April. He's got his academics, so he wants to do good in school. And he's got a social life. So, given all that, he's done not bad, but every now and then he'll miss the time with the Lord, right? He'll miss just that quiet, intimate time spending listening to God through his word. And we were talking the other night, and I said to Robert, I said, maybe when we miss that time with the Lord, right, that real intimate time, listening to him through his word, maybe we should skip our meals for a day, right? You miss a day with the Lord in that regard, we skip the meals for that day. You miss two, we skip the meals for two. Now, I'm sure that most of us would say that we communicate with the Lord every day, right? We pray to him every day. We thank him for stuff every day. I'm sure we ask him for stuff every day, and that's good, but that's not what I'm talking about. Imagine if you were married, right, and you know, for Georgia and Darlene, you guys could speak every day to each other, right? You could talk every hour of every day as husband and wife, but is that really growing the relationship into a deeper, intimate way? Maybe not, right? What I was saying to Robert is this. If we don't feed on God's word every single day, we should do the same with our food. Right, think about that. If we don't feed on the Word of God every single day, we should do the same with food, right? And look at what it says here. Maybe we need to be like Job, right? He said, I've not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than daily food. But I thought I came up with this thing on my own, but Job had it as well, right? Cherishing God's word more than daily food. Look at what it says in Jeremiah. Your words were found and I ate them. So think about that. When you eat something, what do? You chew it, you swallow it, you digest it. It gives you energy, it gives you life, it sustains you, right? That's what happens when you eat something. It says here, your words were found and I ate them. Your words became my joy and my heart's delight. Right? Is that what the Word of God gives you? Like when you think of the Word of God, is it your heart's delight? Does it give you joy? It should. That's what it's saying here. For I bear your name, O Lord God of hosts. Look at Psalm 119. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Think of honey, right? Who likes honey here? Right? Pete Reimer likes honey, right? Do you hive honey? Is that what it's called? Hive honey? What do? You grow? So what do you get the honey? What's that called?
Extract
honey, right? I mean, if you haven't had Pete Reimer's honey, you should try it. I want one of those jugs this year, by the way. It's so sweet, but look what it says here. As sweet as that honey is, the word of God is sweeter than that, right? Think about that for a second. So this is Deuteronomy. He humbled you, right? This is Moses talking to the children of Israel. He says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna. Manna, Pastor Clinton reminded us of manna last week. He fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors has known, to teach you, and here it is, that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So let's be clear, right? We need food. I'm not suggesting that we don't eat. We need food. But what this verse is talking about is food for our bellies just isn't enough, right? We need more than just food that's going into our stomach. Jesus amplified this, the exact same thing in Matthew, right? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And for us as believers and for us at Faith Community Church, you just can't take in the word of God from this pulpit on a Sunday morning, right? Pastor Clinton, I think he's one of the greatest teachers of the word that I've heard in a long time. He'll bring us an entire portion of scripture, an entire verse or chapter sometimes, and he'll go verse by verse and he teaches us the word of God, right? I try and exhort with the word of God. Pastor Dave will bring us 60, 70, 80 minutes sometimes of the word of God, right? He likes it, and I like it too. But as good as that is, we need more than the word of God on a Sunday morning, right? That's just not good enough. There's something just more precious, more powerful, more intimate than when you have that quiet time with the Lord. So here are some stats. Most Christians will claim that the Bible is God's word and they want to live by it. But here's where it gets interesting. Listen to this. 45% of Christians, or regular churchgoers, study the Bible more than once per week. So 45% study his word more than once per week. 80% don't read the Bible every day, right? So 80%, so you're missing a few meals, right? 40% read occasionally, which means they read the word of God or study the word of God once or twice per month, right? These are believers. And 1 in 5 churchgoers or Christians say they never read the Bible, right? So, you know, you look at our little community here. If we're 125 people, I did the math before, by the way, if we're 125 people, that means 25 of us aren't even reading the Word of God ever. Like, think about that. These are statistics that were given and charted for Christians. So the question is, if we're not studying the Word of God, if we're not in it, how can we know what's really in His Word and what He wants us to do, right? There's a simple Bible quiz on YouTube, and statistics say that most Christians will fail that test. It's not that hard, right? So you think about that. If there's a math quiz on YouTube, you'd call a mathematician, right? If there's a science test on YouTube, you would call somebody that's good with science. If there's a Bible quiz on YouTube, don't call a Christian because he's going to flunk it. But really, he should be calling Christians, right? We should be calling Christians. But yet, statistics say that a simple Bible quiz is not going to be answered by most Christians. Most believers will say that they want to live in a manner that pleases Jesus, but what we don't do is go to the Bible to see if we're really doing it. Most Christians will say that the Bible is the Word of God, right? The Bible is God's inspired Word to us. But are we in it, right? Are we reading it? Are we studying it? Are we meditating on it? And most importantly, are we living it out? Think about all the time that we spend planning for food to fill our bellies, right? Think about it. We look at recipes, right? We look at a recipe and we try and make sure all the ingredients are in there. Some people meal prep. I just heard about this recently. Who meal prep here? Anybody meal prep? Meal prep, right? So you go and you plan well in advance and you will actually prepare for an entire week and put it in what do you call those things? Reusable containers, Tupperware, that's the word I was thinking of. You put them in these containers, right? For an entire week, right? We coordinate different flavors for our recipes. Sometimes we plan days in advance when it talks about food, right? Michael and his buddy, they were going to go to a restaurant, Freddy's Steakhouse or something, burgers. And they planned like 5 days in advance to go to this restaurant. They weren't even cooking the meal themselves, right? If they were cooking the meal, it'd be months in advance they'd be planning it. But just to go to a restaurant, there was like 5 days just to go and plan this meal, right? We get together, and what do we talk about? We talk about food, right? We buy, barbecues. We buy pizza ovens. We buy smokers, and we showcase them, right? Pastor Dave, he said that when I turn 70, and I'm going to turn 60, by the way, not 70. I know. You know, he said when I turn 60, you know, maybe I'm going to get a smoker, right? When I turn 60, I don't want a smoker. I don't want a pizza oven. Right? Give me a big old Bible so I can figure out how I can get closer to the Lord with, right? That's really what I want. The problem that we have in North America is this. We are a society that's consumed with filling our bellies, right? We are consumed with filling our stomachs. Look at what Jesus said. This is in John. Jesus is saying, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures forever." What Jesus is saying here is, he's saying, don't put all your energy, all your effort, all your focus on food for the table, but for things that endure forever, right? One of the things that Pastor Dave says and reminds us pretty much every Sunday, what's one of the things that's going to endure forever, last forever? The Word of God, right? So focus on the Word of God and don't focus on things that are going to spoil. You see, it's very common in the church to hear Christians say that they struggle to be in the Word of God. It's a common struggle for Christians, for believers, to be in the Word of God. I worked in procurement for many years at the company that I worked for. Anybody here worked in procurement? Purchasing? No purchasing people? Anyway, we used to negotiate contracts with suppliers, whether it's a one-year contract or year-over-year, and once the contract's finished, you negotiate it again. One of the things that would never happen in dealing with a supplier for a long-term contract was they would say to me, "Hey, Ron, the price is going to be cheaper next year and the next year and the next year." Never, ever. The price always went up, right? It never went down. I never heard them say that the price would go down. Except what? After COVID. Went even higher after COVID, right? I've heard Christians say countless times that they're struggling to be in the Word of God. What I've never heard them say, never say never. Well, I've never heard them say, I'm struggling to eat. I really haven't, right? I know Brian and Liz aren't here, but imagine going to Brian and Liz's place for dinner, and they put out, you know, a 16-ounce ribeye, and it's just cooked to perfection, right? The grill marks are just, you know, just so. But you go over there and you go, oh, man, I was just struggling to eat that ribeye. I just couldn't find my way to eating it, right? My wife cooked me my favorite meal, right? I was having a bad day, and she made my favorite meal for me. I came home, and it was sitting there on the kitchen table. It was piping hot. The smoke was rising from it still. But I just couldn't make my way to eat it. I just struggled eating it. I've never heard that, right? And listen to this. Even if we get busy and get distracted, you know what we do? We eat it cold, right? We eat it cold. But think about that. We've got our Bibles, right? We've got them in our homes at various places, coffee tables, end tables, and we walk right by them. You put a bag of chips on a table, you ain't walking by it, right? I mean, it seems funny, right? But the problem is this. We have a feeding our belly problem versus feeding our spiritual souls and having a mindset that wants to focus on the Word of God. Now, Jesus took this thing very seriously, right? He gave up food for 40 days and for 40 nights, and this is where our anchor verse comes from. Here's what he said. Then Jesus went up, led by the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Right? So Jesus, in one of his, I'll say, weakest times physically, hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. When the devil comes to tempt him, he fights him, attacks him with the Word of God. Right? So for us as believers, right, as we go through life and the things that are going to come, and the tempter is going to come, right? He wants to rob us. He wants us to slip, and he comes and creeps, right? He wants to bring down believers in this day and age when Christianity is under attack, right? He wants to bring down young people that are growing in their faith. He wants to bring down mature believers that are growing in the Lord. He definitely wants to bring down pastors that are leading a flock, right? And so in order to be armed and fighting the enemy, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be armed with his word. And there's things that we get from being in the Word of the Lord, right? There's benefits that we get. And this is just from one chapter of the Bible. This is in Psalm 119. I'm going to share, I don't know, four or five benefits that we get by being in the Word of the Lord. How many here want some joy in their lives? You want to be joyful? Look what it says. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Does it say obey there? Okay, mine doesn't say obey, so okay. Obey him and search for him with all their hearts. That gives you joy when you're in the Word of the Lord. Right? Bring joy to you as you study his word. This is a really important one, right? Purity, right? Young people, old people, all people. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? You want to be pure? By living according to God's word, right? All you young people, you want to be pure? You want to live according to his word. Encouragement, right? If you're feeling down, if you feel like you want to be encouraged, look what it says. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life, right? Being in God's word gives you encouragement. If you're feeling weak, And you want to be strengthened inside. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word, right? God's word is going to give you strength. Hope, right? We sung about hope this morning, right? Hope. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. And it goes on and on and on. This is just one chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119. Finish it off, and you'll see all the things that you can get from the word of God. So here's a surprising statement I've heard over the years. I've heard Christians say that I spend time with the Lord when I'm in trouble. You know, I'll go to the Lord when I need him. And I've said this before. He's not an insurance policy, right? He's not an insurance policy that we just go to him when we're in trouble, right? He's not a genie in a bottle where you go, I wish, right? Stevie Wonder, I wish, I think it's a song, right? I wish. He's looking for a deep, intimate relationship with us, right? He wants us to be fully surrendered to him. Look what it says here in John. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing, right? Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Very familiar verse for us as believers. Right, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. He wants us to be fully surrendered and dependent on him. Not because he has an ego, right? He's not an egotistical father. He wants us to be fully surrendered and dependent on him because he loves us, number one. Number two, he knows that if we actually live by the flesh, it's only going to cause us trouble. You see, there's a biblical truth that says our habits shape our lives, right? Our habits shape our lives. What we reap is what we're going to sow, right? Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows what pleases the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows what pleases the Spirit will reap eternal life. So are you sowing into your relationship with Jesus, right? Are you sowing into him through prayer and bringing in the word of the Lord? So, first point, we need to be in his word. It's very, very important for us as believers. But more important than being in the word, we need to be living it out, right? We need to be living it out. You could be reading it, you could be studying it, you could have Bible studies, but if you don't live it out, then it's not worth even being in it, right? The example that Pastor John brought a few months ago where the Christian lady that had her quiet time, right? She did it religiously. She put on the music. She sat there in her chair, was in the Bible for a couple of hours. Going upstairs afterwards, she saw her husband's sock on the ground and she laid into him, right? She wasn't living it out, right? We need to be living out the word of God. We're in a society right now where there's a lot of books, instruction books on doing things, right? Health is a big thing in this day and age. So there's instructions book on cooking, right? How to cook food. We could read 1,000 cookbooks, but if we don't follow it, we're not going to get the benefit out of it. There's books on how to be fit, right? How to get your body's into shape. You could read those books till you're blue in the face, but if you don't actually do them, you're not going to be in shape. It's the same with the Bible, right? So being in it and actually living it out is extremely, extremely important. Here's what it says in James. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a person who looks himself in the mirror, his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. What he's saying here to you and I is this. Don't lie to yourself, right? Don't lie to yourself by just reading it and not doing it. Don't hold that quiet time so sacred that after you leave from it and you start interacting with people, You wouldn't tell if you read a Harlequin romance versus the Word of God, right? Really. When we leave spending time with the Lord, being with Him in His Word, listening to Him through His Word, and we start interacting like with people, we interact with them the way Jesus would interact with us. So be doers of the Word. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God. Here's something else that I've heard over the years. Believers will say that they're not hearing from the Lord or that they're not getting direction from Him, right? I don't have a lot to say about that necessarily, other than two verses. My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, right? So we are His children, and if we are seeking the Holy Spirit in how we study His Word, if we're seeking the Holy Spirit as we pray, we're going to hear from Him, right? And we're going to know His voice. And if you want direction, it says, your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. God's Word provides direction. It guides us and directs us. And the Word of God is God's voice to you and I. So when people say that they aren't hearing from God or they don't get direction from Him, it would suggest that they're not in His Word. They're not listening to Him. They're not being quiet and still before Him. I've also heard others say that they are afraid of approaching God because He's going to not be happy with what they're doing in their lives. Right? They're actually doing things that are contrary to Him. So they don't want to approach Him. Like, is that really how we want to be with Him? Right? We're going to do things that are contrary to Him, and so we're not going to go to Him. And even if there are things that we're doing that are displeasing to Him, and we go to Him, I think we need to be very, very aware of this. God's voice and God's message to us will come from a place of mercy. Right? He's not like an angry dad that's going to be wagging his finger to you when you come to him with something that's going on in your life, right? I'm learning that, by the way, to be a dad like him, not like the dad that I am, right? He comes to us from a place of mercy. So I want to affirm to you, in addition to being in the Word of the Lord, it's so, so, so important. I want to affirm to you this morning that we should never, ever, ever be afraid of hearing from God's voice, right? And here's some verses that just confirm that. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, and He's abounding in love. Another very, very familiar one for us in the church. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He's a God of mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of His great love for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive in Christ. Jesus Christ is never looking to condemn us, right? That's not why He came to this earth, right? He came to wash away all the sins that we've committed, past and future, past, present, and future. Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. So we should never, ever be afraid of approaching the Lord with where we are. Now, let's be clear. He's not going to tolerate sin, right? He's going to discipline us because He loves us. So if we're living in sin, He's not going to let it go on forever, right? But that's a different message. So I'm going to close with some practical things this morning for you and I. As we start to study His Word, as we start to being in His Word and listening to His voice, ask for help. Ask Him for help to reveal Himself to us. Ask Him for help to give us a further knowledge and understanding of His Word. Ask His Holy Spirit to help us live it out. We can't do it on our own, right? So ask Him for help. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So ask him to give you understanding for his word. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So ask him to understand the word of God. I think Pastor David encouraged us with this a number of months ago. Before you open up the word, just say, Father, help me to understand. Don't go to a YouTube and try and prepare for it. Let the Holy Spirit saturate you with opening your eyes to what the word of God has for you. Here's a great prayer. I would put this one on your fridge. It's a great prayer as it relates to understanding God's word. Let your word be applied to me, and I will be alive. And here's the prayer. Let my prayer be that your words may be clear to me. Right? He wants to make his words clear to us. Right? So ask him for help. In Timothy it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in transgressions. His word teaches us how to live right. It equips us for every good work. And he wants to strengthen us and equip us through his word to us. We talked a number of months ago about the device not being your Bible. Right? It's a great tool, Pastor Dave said it a few weeks ago, it's a great tool to study and get educated, but your device isn't your Bible. So I would encourage each and every one of us to get a hard copy Bible. Write in it. Right? Maybe get a study Bible that has notes on the side of it with commentaries in it. Read different translations. There's a number of wonderful translations out there, right? NLT, NIV, ESV. Read different translations. Listen to the word of the Lord, right? Listen to the tapes, or they don't have tapes anymore. What do they have now? Whatever that, what? Listen to them through audio messages, but listen and read at the same time, right? Do an audio of a portion of scripture and then read it. Here's an important one. Study the Word of God during your best time, right? During your best time, or if it's in the morning, right? When you have the most energy. Don't try and just sneak it in, right? Study the Word of God during the best time that you have. Have brothers and sisters praying for you. Well, you let them know, hey, you know what? I'm struggling to be in the Word, but I'm purposing to do this, so help me. Have them praying for you. Invite the Holy Spirit into that time. Get a pen or a pencil and write in your Bible, right? So just some things that are really, really practical. The bottom line is this. If we just think that we're going to sneak it in during the day, it's not going to work, right? We're going to miss it. So be very intentional. Our calendars are going to show us what's important, right? We actually do the things that are important to us. And so we want to make the Bible and studying the Word of God a priority. Pastor Dave has a prayer chair, I think. I think it's in your basement. He's got a little chair that he goes in, and he calls it his prayer chair. And I'm pretty sure he's done some pretty good battles with the Lord in that chair, right? I know you have, by the way. And so I've said this to you before, but my encouragement is this. We need to be very intentional. So I would suggest that you try and find a time that you're going to dedicate to studying the Word of God, being with him. Find a specific time. Now, it's going to vary, right? Every now and then. But say, you know what? This is the time that I'm going to purpose to growing my relationship with Jesus Christ. We do it every day, right? We do it all day. We are talking to him all day. That's not the point. But this is the time I'm really going to dig in with him. It's like date night, right? You know, George is going to take Darlene on a date night. That's really specific versus just regular conversation. So find a specific time that you're going to be close and intimate with the Lord. Find a space in your home that you're going to say, this is the space, right? This is my prayer chair in the basement that I'm going to go to, wherever it may be. Kathy has a chair, a little blue chair. She's worn it out, by the way. Right? That's the place that she's going to spend time with the Lord. Find the place that you're going to go to, right? Wherever it may be. And it may vary, right? Like I said, it may vary, but find the place that you're going to go to. And with all the distractions that we have in our lives, there's responsibilities that we have, right? There's a lot of things that are coming at us. You're going to have to give something up, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to say no to some things to ensure that you're going to grow that relationship with the Lord. I'm going to close with this verse right here. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So there's a lot of things that are coming at us, right? And so the bottom line is this: you're going to have to give something up. You can't serve two masters. So a time, a place, and giving something up to just grow and foster and develop that personal, intimate relationship and fellowship with the Lord. The word of the Lord, living it out. Brothers and sisters, ask him for help. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He will direct you. He will reveal himself to you through his word. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you that you've given us this love story, this book, this instruction. It's you, Father. You've poured out yourself to us in the word of the Lord. You've given it to us, Father, as a gift, just like your Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And so I pray for me, for my brothers and sisters, that we would just be drawn to your word. And Father, through your Spirit, may you reveal yourself to us through these inspired words of yours to us. Father, as we're in the midst of summer and there's so many things coming at us, I just pray that you would just help us to be intentional and purposeful to be with you. May you not be an afterthought, Father, but may you be at the forefront of our hearts and our minds. May you do that work in and through us, and we just look forward to the wonderful work you're going to do, Father. We thank you, we praise you, and I pray these things in your name. And we all said, amen. Amen.